Today we begin a series of lessons exploring the role and function of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We have often heard it said that the Holy Spirit is only but a force that influences our lives. This, however, is not the sum total of the Bible's teaching concerning the Holy Spirit. There are numerous teachings on who, or as some would say, what the Holy Spirit is. What work the Holy Spirit does in the lives of individuals. How does the Holy Spirit manifest himself in people's lives? Is it exclusively by way of speaking in an unknown tongue? Or is it that this manifestation involves daily living that is evidenced by kindness, forgiveness, courteous speech, etc.? In this series, it is our intention to explore what the Bible teaches about the Holy Spirit and his work in lives of those who have yielded themselves to him. The foundations of the Missionary Church of Jamaica sets out our doctrinal position on the Holy Spirit. And as the article of faith says, and I read, "We believe that the Holy Spirit, the third person of the triune God, proceeding from the Father and sent by the Son, is one substance, majesty, and glory with the Father and the Son, very and eternally God. His office and work is to reprove or convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, to regenerate such as repent of their sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to sanctify, endue with power, teach, guide, and comfort the believer." This is by no means the fullness of our conviction concerning the Holy Spirit, but gives the foundation of our faith in this regard. It is, therefore, important for us to highlight the elements of this doctrinal stance concerning the Holy Spirit, as in so doing, we will better understand who we are speaking of and are interacting with, so that we do not make the mistake Ananias and his wife did, thereby losing their lives, according to Acts 5. The critical factor from our statement of faith concerning the Holy Spirit clearly identifies the essence of who the Holy Spirit is. We believe that the Holy Spirit is indeed God and is the third member of the Godhead. This one God has manifested himself in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As mentioned earlier, Acts 5, verses 1 through 16, has an account of a couple losing their lives because they lied to the Holy Spirit. Peter identifies the Holy Spirit as God. In verse number 3, he said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" The latter part of verse number 4 says, "You have not lied to men, but to God." Therefore, in lying to the Holy Spirit, Ananias and Sapphira were actually lying to God. Many deny that the Holy Spirit is a person with personality. This they base on the neuter gender used in the Greek New Testament. So many are of the view that the Holy Spirit can be referred to as it and should not be classified as a person because he is simply a force like the wind. Let me state categorically that the Missionary Church does not support nor accept such position. We are convinced that the Bible, from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, teaches the deity of the Holy Spirit. He is fully God, co-equal with the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit does the work, and we agree these are works of God. He creates and was an equal participant in the creation of this universe, as reflected in Genesis 1, verse 2, and the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters. The Holy Spirit is referred to as the breath of God. And in Job 26 verse 13, we are told that by his breath, the heavens are made beautiful or adorned. So like the sun was an active member of the Godhead, bringing life into existence, so also was the Spirit. Many works attributed to the Holy Spirit reveals his nature as being God. These works are what only God can do, such as inspiring, according to 2 Peter 1 and verse 21, regenerating, according to John 3 verses 5 and 6, sanctifying, according to 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 13, and many others. The Holy Spirit is identified as being the eternal Spirit, according to Hebrews 9 verse 14. And it is through him that the Son offered himself up as a sacrifice. The very way in which Jesus was conceived demonstrates the eternality and divinity of the Holy Spirit. Mary was told, according to Luke 1, 35, and the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Many have argued that the Holy Spirit only came after the ascension of Jesus Christ. But the Bible speaks to the Spirit's existence from before the creation. During the Old Testament, the Spirit of God was active and would come upon and empower for service and thereafter depart. Saul had such an experience. David, in Psalm 51 verse 11, wrote, "Cast me not from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Clearly, the Holy Spirit was known to have been active in the Old Testament. It is important to remind ourselves that the Holy Spirit is God and is a person, not just a force. He possesses personality. I often remind my congregants that it is not the presence of a body that makes a person a person. For animals have bodies but are not persons. We are persons because we possess personality. And personality is made up of will, intellect, and emotions. The Holy Spirit has all three. Do not forget that God is a spirit. The only member of the Godhead that has a body is the Son, having taken on human form. But John 4:24 clearly states that God is a spirit, and they that worship him, who? They that worship God, must worship God in spirit and in truth. These elements of personality, being will, intellect, and emotions, refers to the fact that the Holy Spirit makes choices. It is he who gives different gifts as he wills, according to Romans 12 and also 1 Corinthians 12. He has intellect, as shown in the Holy Spirit possessing wisdom and knowledge, seen in 1 Corinthians 2, 10 and 11. And he has emotions. He expresses feelings, can be grieved, can be angered, according to Ephesians 4, verse 30. The Holy Spirit is referred as co-equal with the Father and the Son, also evidenced by being associated together. This we see in Matthew 28, verse 19. As Jesus commissioned his disciples, he told them, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, we see this again through Paul's writings. These passages show that the Holy Spirit is placed equally alongside the Father and the Son, and therefore is not just a force like wind or fire that many have incorrectly accepted. In closing, if you speak against the Holy Spirit, you are speaking against God. Be reminded that the only sin the Bible has indicated is unforgivable is that of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Mark 3:29. Next week, the coming of the Holy Spirit and his mission.